B-Pod Studios.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
It's Boston's most listened to afternoon radio program. Vulgar and Mass.
You need a little bit of fat in there for flavor.
Presented by DraftKings Sportsbook on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Miami by 16. Jalen exposed to the ball. It's stripped away clean by Oladipo. Jalen, right-hand dribble on Oladipo. Stumbles, turns it over. One of the foul didn't get it. Here's Adebayo. Running into Tatum, scores easily. Jalen from Marcus, right-hand dribble. Return pass, he misses Jalen by a mile and turns it over. Jalen Brown is stripped clean by Oladipo. Back-to-back turnover by the Celtics. Miami by 12 in the ball.
Oladipo has jumped on their arm every time.
The Celtics have been horrific with the basketball here. Bad pass by Smart. Tatum can't save it. Another turnover, and Grant Williams gives the take foul. Smart foul to prevent the fast break. It's
too many turnovers.
17 now. Jalen Brown and Oladipo will jump it. Ball in the air. Jalen has it. Throws it out towards Tatum. Deflected. Caleb Martin has it go out of bounds. He'll say off Tatum. And Miami controls the loose ball.
Oladipo jumped right into the body of Brown so he couldn't get off the floor then. Smart play here.
Here's the answer to Tatum. Tatum against Tyler Hero. Turns, kick out, throws it away. Tatum turns it over again. White, left-hand dribble, Adebayo chasing him, bounce pass, Jalen tries to turn, Oladipo bumps him, knocks him off balance and rips the ball away. Tatum, straight away up top, gets a screen from Jalen Brown. Switches to the right hand, turns it over. Oladipo strips him of the ball. Tatum, right-hand dribble, throws away a bounce pass, diving to the floor. Tucker's got it. 48 seconds to go, near steal in the backcourt, Lowry's got it. Lowry stepped in front of Smart, finds Max Strus, dives in and scores, and that is game three.
Kyle Lowry came in and stepped through. You made a lazy pass then, and that's another turnover. Lowry made it up. Lowry is that difference maker we talked about.
No, there's your synopsis of the 24th. Was it 23 or 24?
24.
I thought it was 23, but whatever.
I keep hearing
what's
both.
The difference?
What's the diff, as we like to say in the homeland? Celtics drop game three on Saturday, game four tonight here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Felger and Maz getting you game ready, as we like to say, coming to you from Hurricanes at the Garden. Beautiful late afternoon here on Canal Street, right?
This is, Canal Street, yeah.
Canal, or is it
I drove down Friend Street, but the bar's on Canal. What?
You're trying to figure out the name.
Yeah, no, Canal Street.
Yeah, let's futz around with the street name.
It is Hurricane. Oh, yeah, Hurricane. Yeah, Canal Street.
Either way. Yeah. Right down the street from the Garden, getting your game ready. 23 or 24 turnovers, doesn't matter. What do you think it might be a function of, Mass?
Okay, so I was just looking this up. Jason Tatum in this round of the playoffs has the most turnovers of any player. 16 in three games. Jaylen Brown is third. He's got 10. They're also among the league leaders in minutes, and I don't know. When I say minutes, I mean in this round, but also all year. Is this all? And as I watch the highlights when we're coming back from break on the simulcast, they're falling down. Their legs look heavy. Is this all a product of being run into the ground over the regular season? What I'm saying is, I'm not blaming their performance. I'm adding Udoka into the mix here.
No, I'm going to say no. No, they hit the deck because they want to draw a foul. They hit the deck because they want to play up an injury. They hit the deck because they just want the drama of going to the floor and getting back up. And it's what they do, whether they're tired or not tired. That's just who they are. That's what I've known this team to be for years and years and years.
But I'm not talking about the hitting the deck part.
Okay, you did mention it.
Okay, but no, but I mean their legs look heavy. What I mean, I'm talking about the turnovers. Is that the turnovers are lazy, sloppy? Are those a product of being out there too much?
How many turnovers? What's your over-under for team turnovers tonight?
15.
Yeah, I was going to say 14 or 15.
8. They're going to play a clean game tonight.
Maybe.
And it's not because their legs are any fresher or less fresh. It's because now they have something to bounce back from, and they can be a little more focused because they played poorly in the last one. And that's what I don't think it's fatigue. I don't. I don't think it's fatigue. I don't think it's injury. I think it's immaturity.
Yeah, I think you're letting Udoka off the hook. I think Udoka had a lot of times during the regular season where he could have taken some of the wear and tear off of the legs of these guys. And look, you might be right.
What about someone like Marcus Smart, though? So in that montage, and this was the one that I remember driving me nuts at the time, he's backing down Tyler Hero, and then he passes into like a double team, and it's immediately picked off by Bam Adebayo. And usually he's a good facilitator, knows who to find. It's like, what the hell were you thinking there?
They're making stupid mistakes.
Yeah, I think the problem is lack of focus.
Yeah, that's all.
Not tired legs, and I mean, could they be tired some? Yeah, no more or less so than the Heat. And that's just all I think that it is. I mean, so, no. I mean, yes, Udoka rode him into the ground. I mean, playing Marcus Smart over 40 minutes in game two.
Well, this is what I'm getting at.
To get him a triple-double.
And he did it all year with Tatum and Brown, that he'd have big leads late. He left one of them on the floor almost all the time. And that has to catch up with you at some point. And I think, Mike, all I'm telling you is that part of one of the side effects of fatigue is loss of focus. Like, it's entirely, and look, I'm not telling you that's a justifiable excuse to lose this series. But I'm telling you that if I were the coach, one of the things I'd be examining right now is, did I lean on these guys at times where I didn't have to?
Okay, well, what do you think out there? What do you think about Maz's theory on that? Back to your phones. Mark in Washington on Celtics Heat. Go ahead, Mark.
I'd like to make a comment and hang up and listen. Listen, Miami often took away the self-strength, team defense. Miami cleared out the offensive zone, made their efforts a one-on-one game, believing the Celts couldn't defend them one-on-one, and they were right. I don't know how the Celts can combat that unless they double-team, and I don't know if that'll work since that might leave a great three-point shooting team an open shot.
Well, so, you know, I asked that after game one. Should you devote more bodies to Jimmy Butler or play him straight up? Now I'll say the same thing with Bam Adebayo. Do you show him some extra attention tonight, given off what he did the other game, or you just play him straight up?
Depends who you have out there. If it's Williams, Robert Williams, you play him straight up.
If it's Tice, you send help.
If it's Tice, you're poor.
Well, right, yeah. I mean, that proved that in that game on Saturday night. You got to hope Robert Williams plays is really the answer. And that sucks because you're really relying on a guy who's very fragile, and that knee is now a problem. But you need Robert Williams if Bam's going to play like this.
I mean, the Celtics, when Tice is not on the floor in this series, are more than a plus 40. And when he is on the floor, they're a minus 36. Like, the point differential in Tice being out there is almost 80 points in this series. He's been useless in this series.
Mary's in Manchester. Hi, Mary.
Hi, Mike. Hey, guys. So, I don't know if this is too strong, but I just really can't stand the Celtics right now because I just think that, you know, they're acting like a bunch of babies. And I know we're not supposed to cross sports on this show, but I've heard you in the past rant about, you know, like football players that are soft, you know, but at least the football players are going out there and they're getting killed half the time. The Celtics are acting as if they're sustaining Gordon Hayward type of injuries every time they're on the floor. It's just ridiculous. And I'll tell you something, if they can't win with Jimmy Butler off the floor, unlike you, I'm not convinced they're going to win the series.
Yeah, there's just too much nonsense. It was just Saturday night, just too much nonsense. Carrying on at the officials, carrying on for injuries, carrying on into the locker room, just the theatrics. It's just too much. They are a tough watch at times, a lot of times. And again, I'm just going to chalk it up to immaturity, and you better hope it's immaturity because that means they'll grow out of it eventually. But they are a tough watch sometimes. Saturday was one of those games. It's like, Jesus, guys, just play. Can you please just play the game?
I mean, that was an excruciating watch. I agree with you.
Dylan in the car. Go ahead, Dylan.
Hey, guys, two quick points. One, on the Red Sox, I think I've seen enough of Franchi and Dahlbeck to know that Franchi should be the starting first baseman for the near future. And second, I think at one point in Game 3, the Celtics had a 33-6 advantage on free throw attempts. Then Jaylen Brown goes in the press conference afterwards and complaining that he's not getting calls when he's headed to the rim. I mean, how much more help do you need, Jaylen? Come on.
I love that. It's so you, but I hate to keep just beating this dead horse, but it's another indication of you're not mature enough. You don't get it. You don't get it. You cannot get the officials out of your mouth. You just can't do it. You. No matter how often the coach tells you, no matter how much you get scolded by some, maybe fans or media, not all of them, you just can't. You can't get over that officiating thing. Was it 33-6 in free throws? It was something dramatic. I don't know if it was that bad. Do you have it in front of you by chance?
Pulled up.
Either way, I mean, it was a dramatic difference in free throws.
And it started immediately, too, the pitching. Like, again, I was there. I think it was the first or maybe second trip down. Tatum missed a layup. He's bitching at the ref while he'd go down and, I think, score their first bucket of the game.
30-14.
30-14. It was something like that.
They go into these games wanting to bitch at the refs.
Oh, they're a bunch of two-year-olds. It's that simple. They're a bunch of two-year-olds. They can't hack it. When it doesn't go their way, they start bitching at the refs, and they turn into a bunch of two-year-olds. Suck it up and fight through it. It's the same crap with them over and over and over again. And it always happens when it starts to go bad. Like, they don't see this. And I do think that this is where, like, Udoka can talk about it until he's blue in the face. But it's going to take someone on the team saying, guys, stop bitching.
I mean, I think the coach does, but I don't know. I've talked about this a lot. It's too much in the culture around here with the way the Celtics have always carried themselves, and maybe they're destined to be that. And if they're destined to be that, they'll never reach their full potential because they're devoting too much energy to something that's not going to help them win a game. But in the here and now, my worry if I were a Celtics fan is that they're just not quite there yet. They just spend too much time on things that aren't going to help them win a game, too much carrying on, too much nonsense, and they're just that 10% short of reaching maturity, and you see it in a game like Saturday night. That's my main takeaway today. What's yours? Right back to your phones. Felger Mass from Hurricanes right after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Tonight, it's the Celtics in Game 4. Right now, it's Celtics fans at Hurricanes at the Garden with Felger and Mass, presented by Michelob Ultra. Enjoy every bucket on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
What can you do to be more secure with the ball? Your personal turnover, it seemed like they're just kind of grabbing at the ball, knocking it away. What can you do to be more secure with the ball?
Just be stronger. Did a job today, taking care of the basketball, but just being stronger, you know, driving. I'm going to keep being aggressive. I'm going to keep getting to the basket. I'm going to keep doing what I do, but be stronger when I get in there. They let a lot of stuff go tonight, especially when I feel like I drive and I get to the basket. I feel like it's two hands on me all the time. I don't ever get those hand-checking calls, but I don't make excuses. We get better. I did a job taking care of the basketball. Today, I got to do better.
Doesn't make excuses, yet he brings up the officials that he's got hands on him every time he goes to. 33-10 was the free throw disparity?
30-14.
Did you have that game book back up? I was also curious about points in the paint. Like, you know, there was a night like in Milwaukee like this. Milwaukee had twice as many point shots in the paint, but half as many free throws.
48-34 in favor of the Heat.
So the Heat had, and this was attempts or points?
Correct. They they attempted 36 shots in the paint. The Celtics attempted 32.
Okay, so the Heat attempted more shots in the paint than the Celtics, yet got to the free throw line a third of the time.
Right.
Do you know why? Because the Heat aren't rolling around on the ground and hitting the deck every time they come down the floor. That's the Celtics.
So this is another thing, too. I'm glad that we looked at that because I meant to bring this up. Boy, the Celtics missed a lot of layups in that game early. Early, especially, you know, right around the rim, shots that either they initiated contact and were trying to draw the foul and didn't finish the shot, or they were a little bit contested, or even just like Horford had one.
Horford had that one bunny.
Oh, it's an easy put back, and he missed it. And, you know, there are other ones where guys are just going full bore towards the bucket and not even close. Like, I want to say in the early part of the game, they missed four or five of those. And, you know, and I think that hurt them. They needed every bucket they could get early in that game.
Okay, back to your phones. Chris is in Everett. Go ahead, Chris.
I know this is random, and it goes back to one of the things you guys were talking about a while ago. But the whole Danny Ainge commentary, obviously, like, he knew not to take Markelle Fultz, and he deserves all credit for that. But I don't know if anybody remembers. He actually wanted to take Josh Jackson, but Josh Jackson refused to work out for the Celtics. And he was planning on trying to take him, and he ended up settling on Tatum because he couldn't get a workout with Jack because he refused.
Yeah, I mean, it's good. I mean, so it's another good break. But he still had the sense to draft Tatum over Fultz and Ball. I don't know who else would have done that. Because as I said, that draft year, Fultz and Ball, no one ripped the Lakers or the Magic, Sixers, for taking those players.
Correct.
No one ripped those teams.
Yeah, look, Mike, and we talk about Tatum a lot because of the ceiling. Let's not overlook the Jaylen Brown pick. I mean, that one might have been, when they took Jaylen Brown, I thought, who? Guys like this, you're going to get an all-star caliber talent in a guy like Jaylen Brown, and he nailed it.
I think even Marcus Smart was the right pick. I don't know if there's anyone after Marcus Smart who you would have taken ahead of him. Now, Danny Ainge nailed those draft picks. But, you know, I just get annoyed when everyone says it was all part of a master plan and like there wasn't any luck involved. No. Their original plan, they wanted Durant. They went to his house in the Hamptons, and they wanted Durant. And he didn't want to come here. And then when they got Kyrie, the play there was to have Kyrie recruit Anthony Davis or Durant or some combination of those three. And that's what Danny Ainge wanted. And if ultimately it meant giving up a Brown or a Tatum, they probably would have given up a Brown or Tatum along the way. And so they got lucky that Davis didn't want to come here. And they got lucky that Durant didn't want to come here. And they got lucky that Kyrie Irving grew to hate it. That was your luck. Never mind, there was one year where the plan was Rondo and Kevin Love. Remember that?
Yes, of course.
They did a full court press on Kevin Love. They were
right,
gonna spend
he was
a,
in the Seaport, went to Fenway. Remember that?
My reports is that he was howling at the moon, literally. Like, he had himself a time here. He went out and rolled, baby. Like, he had a good night here. They did everything they could for him.
Thank God they didn't get that stiff.
So there's always some luck along the way. We've got Dennis in Worcester. Go ahead, Dennis.
Hey, how you doing, fella?
We're good.
I was just calling to agree with what you said about they're always flopping and everything. And like the game the other night when Tatum went down, he was on the floor crying for like so long.
Dennis.
He went to the locker room. He should have stayed in the locker room because the Celtics had made a comeback. And they could have won that game if he was.
Okay, Dennis, you got to hold it like a pizza.
I think he's doing it for effect. He's, Val, go over here. I'm going to keep taking the phone and putting it away from my mouth like this.
Yeah, Felge, he's flopping around on the floor. then he's rolling around on the floor like a fish out there. So what do you think, Felge?
The whole Celtics and the injury thing is just annoying. Is the guy hurt or is he not hurt? Is he in the game or out of the game? You know, what's his stat? The Heat definitely have guys in and out of the lineup. But Jimmy Butler just stayed in the locker room. He didn't come out. He didn't limp around. He didn't roll around on the floor. When Pritchard took him down with that cheap little trip, that maybe that exacerbated the injury, maybe it didn't. No one really knows. But the Heat are kind of bitching about it today, and I don't blame them. Jimmy Butler just laid there for a second, and someone helped him up, and then he went to the bench. Or he kept playing. The reason no one noticed it in real time is because Butler didn't carry on.
Correct.
There's no theatrics with it.
He just got up and kept playing, or got up and went to the bench, or whatever. Then went to the locker room for halftime and didn't come out. There was no limping around, being carried off, carried on, playing to the crowd. He just left the game. With the Celtics, it's like they're just rolling around on that Tatum thing. He was on the ground for like a minute, Mass. They're going up and down the floor. That's embarrassing.
Oh, totally embarrassing. Like, and again, the smart one.
And you were fine? You were totally fine. And meanwhile, your team's playing five. They're on a penalty kill, basically. They're 5-on-4 for I don't know how long that was—a minute, half a minute. While you're writhing in pain, and you're fine, you're not hurt. Like, what are you doing? Where's sort of the toughness gene? That thing.
It doesn't exist on this team right now. It doesn't. And again, I don't know whether you develop it or not, but they do an awful lot of whining. And look, you know, in the simulcast, they're showing the Pritchard thing with Butler. And again, Butler just got up and, you know, took off. But, boy, that's a Marchand kind of play, isn't it? The more you look at it.
The cheap little
Seriously,
play.
Seriously, huh? The Brad Marchand of the Celtics? Is that what we got there? Except not as good?
And it's amazing. Like, maybe I was half in the bag. I don't know. I don't remember the play. I watched the whole game. But it's like I think we didn't notice it because there was no replays of it. Because the Heat didn't carry on. They just took the ball inside out and kept playing. Because there was no histrionics. But the Celtics, like, every little thing, it's just, oh, my God, another piece of drama. Oh, God, just play. Jake in Andover on Bill Belichick. Go ahead, Jake.
Bucksy, real quick on before the Patriots. I mean, Danny Ainge has to hang out with Matt Judon to learn how to recruit people better, obviously. But with Bill in this, and I called, you know, a couple months before where I was like the raging, you know, divisional or get Bill out of there. But in all honesty, that other caller that mentioned the Bill coaching tree and being just a normal team, is that the problem is Bill, you know, you say cut the head off the snake, you get rid of the problem. Is it the fact that Bill is a hydra? You know, he has five kids, you know, unadopted ones with Patricia and Judge. Honestly, again, I'm holding to that standard. You are trying to be God and create the wheel again. If you're gone, you have to pray.
Okay, I'm just going to stop you at 45 seconds. Do you have a point there, a thread that you'd pick up on that call?
No, I think he got a little too...
What's Hydra? Like, I don't know what he's talking about.
A many-headed serpent. Yeah. So if you cut off the... You know, with one snake, you cut the head, the snake's dead. With the Belichicks and how many are running down the show down there, you cut off Bill's head, but Steven's still there.
Hydra.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
It's a multi-headed snake.
See, even if Bill was gone, the Belichick thing is still down there because of Bobos and friends of Bobos and kids of Bobos.
No. When Bill's gone, the whole Hydra dies. The whole...
If Matt Patricia's still here and now he's the head coach?
Okay, well, fine. But that means that...
Then it'll be a sucky Hydra.
Well, no, but that means they've had success and we won't mind it. But I'm not anticipating that. I'm not anticipating them having success this year, throwing this young quarterback to the Wolves with two new offensive coaches that he has to teach every bit as much as they're teaching him.
I don't know which part to get more agitated about. The fact that he brings in guys who are all his buddies, or the idea that you need an offensive coordinator and a defensive coordinator, and you wouldn't look outside of your circle to find them.
Well, I mean, I don't mind him keeping it in his circle. In other words, I think it's smart not to change his playbook. I don't want Mac Jones to have a new playbook. I don't want him to have a new scheme. I don't want them to bring in a McVay guy and all of a sudden run the zone, that whole Shanahan thing that they've never run here. I don't need that.
Okay, but then what about Bill O'Brien?
Thank you. No. So I'm okay with them running the same playbook and the same scheme. Can't you find someone more qualified to do that who has experience with you and your scheme?
No, because then
than a failed special teams coach?
No, because then he would violate something in his friendship with Nick Saban.
So that's Bill O'Brien's in the circle, but Bill O'Brien makes sense. Or some of these other guys, I keep bringing these names up. I don't know if they're available, but the Jerry Shaplinski, who was a quarterback coacher for a little bit, or Chad O'Shea, someone like that. I know O'Shea got fired by Flores, but it feels like Flores either fires you or sues your ass. Like, hey, Flores is a tough cookie, it feels like. So I don't know if Chad O'Shea sucks or if that was a Flores thing or him thing, but whatever. He's got experience working with quarterbacks, receivers, calling plays in this system, in this playbook. That guy. And there's got to be a handful of those guys floating around out there.
O'Shea's with the Browns.
Okay, so, I mean, I don't expect them to totally change the playbook and bring in a total outsider. That to me is, I don't need them to do that. Is there a better option than the failed special teams coach who's never coached offense or called a play? And putting him next to your ultra-important year two franchise quarterback? I mean, there's got to be a better option than that guy. Has to be. Tom and Quincy, go.
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey, that Sox game yesterday, I was there. And, you know, I couldn't be more surprised by the outcome. You know, it never should have went to 10. I'll echo Tony's sentiments that he said on that. You know, the problem is they got a bunch of arsonists out in the bullpen where no lead is safe, especially the ones they have. And when Franchi was coming up, my exact words to my buddy was like, Jesus Christ, this stiff's coming up with bases loaded. But then he launched one to the moon. So I'm happy with the result, but they never should have got to extra innings.
Okay, Maz, your thoughts?
Yeah, look, again, the bullpen blew a lead. They also had a chance to get a run home. They get a guy thrown out at the plate for the first out of the inning, I think it was, right? So, you know, to me, there were multiple mistakes, but the recurring one to me is the bullpen. They keep giving up leads over and over and over again, and now they're pulling them out, or at least they did yesterday. And they've overcome it, but it's a fatal flaw. You're not going to win doing it that way.
Here's an update from Big Jim Murray, and we're back from Hurricanes. Don't go anywhere.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
.com.
Getting you ready for game four tonight, it's Felger and Maz live at Hurricanes at the Garden, presented by Michelob Ultra. Enjoy every bucket on Boston's home for sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
They lead all the way around, and the 0-2 pitch.
Fenway Park, so the Sox, I don't know, Maz playing their way back into it?
Yeah, I mean, I look, they're pretty close. I think you just have to write off the division. If the Yankees go out and win 102 games, you were going to beat them anyway. Okay, so you almost have to write that one off. I just don't think the Red Sox have the depth of talent to challenge that kind of number. But you can get into the postseason. That should have been the goal from the very beginning, and then what you do in the postseason will outweigh anything that happened during the regular season. So, look, there's still a few games under 500, Mike. I always say get to 500 first, okay, and then we'll talk. So they still got a few games to go, but they got a soft schedule here for the next week still.
Okay, back to your phones. John in Providence. Hi, John.
Hi, I'd like to talk about the Celtics' lack of depth and this guy, Derek White. He was phenomenal in the last series. This series, you have to put him on a milk carton. You can't find him. He does not score. And I think they are missing a guy like Josh Richardson. Maz, I think you're 100% right. These players, they've been worked like horses throughout the year. They've been grinding the whole year, having to play 40 minutes just to get to where they are. And I think they're missing just a couple of depth players. That's okay. The problem right now.
So Derek White again to me. I've been less thrilled with him than most people. I think he's kind of just a guy. Hasn't added much value to this series, I don't think.
No, he hasn't.
Obviously missed that game back in Miami. So, but I'll tell you what, they have enough. They have enough talent to beat this Heat team, and they have enough talent to win the title.
Yeah, yep. I don't want to hear about depth. I'm now hearing this over the last day or so, too. Like, they're not deep enough.
Well, I mean, look, they could use more, but...
Who couldn't?
Right, who couldn't? And they have enough to win these two series. If they come up short... This round or the next, it'll be because they're just not quite ready. They're not quite mature enough. They're not focused enough, tough enough. They can't. They're just not ready for the grind.
Your superstar's getting 10 points in a game three.
Yes.
Things like that.
All the way through. They're just not quite ready for the full, you know, 4x7. They're just not quite there. That's why they'll lose, I think.
I mean, look, their starters blew the game last game. That had nothing to do with the bench.
Absolutely.
Their starters sucked in that game.
Andrew in Boston with the Red Sox talk. Go ahead, Andrew.
Hey, guys. So, Maz, I agree. I think the Red Sox can still make the postseason. It'll be tough to beat the Rays in Toronto. But say they get to that point, I'm curious on your thoughts if they're going to maintain Rafi Devers and Xander Bogaerts long-term, or you think if Bloom's going to potentially trade those assets if the season's going downhill, maybe by the trade deadline.
What do you think, Maz?
Yeah, I wouldn't trade either one of those guys. I mean, Devers, no way, because you get another year out of him anyway. And after having lived the John Lester thing, so what, you're going to have any chance at all and send it out the door at midseason? And I know what the odds are in terms of re-signing him. I would still take my chances with Bogaerts on that one. I would wait it out. because I think Bogaerts is one of those guys that deep down wants to stay. I mean, you know, and I would say even more so than Lester. So Lester was one of those guys, too. But in the case of Bogaerts, I think he really wants to stay.
Nick is in Westport. Go ahead, Nick, on Bill Belichick and the Patriots. Hi.
Hey, guys. I know on the show we don't really like to cross sports. I respect that. But it's really tough to not see the striking similarities between the teams and all of their nepotism, especially between the Bruins and the Pats. But at least with the Bruins, they actually have an excuse. Like, the guys in the front office, most of them played together, so there's something there. I don't understand what on earth Belichick's crap is with Matt Patricia and Joe Judge. I grew up seeing excellent coaches on this team, and to see guys like that getting Mac Jones ready is just sad. It's really sad.
It's sad. It's sad. We just talked about it before. Bill O'Brien. Bill could have had Bill O'Brien on offense. He could have had Brian Flores on defense. Those are two Belichick guys that he developed, that were in the system, that were loyal to him at one point. Now, they both have strong personalities.
But the two best branches from his tree are those guys.
Yes! Those are two guys I feel best about, for sure. They both are out of work. Or they're both, you know, out of the NFL. They're both available. You could have one guy coaching the offense, not have to jump through any hoops. One guy coaching the defense, not have to jump through any hoops. And that could be your staff. And instead, there's still no defensive coordinator. There's some sort of, you know, that weird arrangement between his kid and Gerard Mayo. And on offense, no one who's ever coached quarterbacks, no one who's ever called plays on offense, all just still trying to figure it out. And as Mac Jones said, we're going to teach each other. We're going to teach each other. Meaning, what can he learn from Joe Judge? We're going to teach each other, said Mac Jones. That's a whopper to me.
Oh, no, that's great. Yeah, again, second-year quarterback. You know, in theory, you should be able to just have him focus on his own development for another year or two or three, whatever, because he's still just a pup, relatively speaking. Instead, he's got to hold the hand of the coach and pull him along.
And meanwhile, Bill, you know, refused to really define roles, play caller, coordinator. It's May. We don't need plays at minicamp. Well, minicamp plays? Who's calling plays at minicamp? It's minicamp. This whole thing. You'll hear the sound here coming up. And it's just, so why do you think he's doing that?
I was just going to, is it possible he doesn't know?
Yes, it's possible he doesn't know.
So that would be, to me, like the most alarming possibility, that even Bill doesn't know yet. That he says, well, let's see how it goes, and we'll sort of decide it on the fly.
Yes, sir. Well,
based on how they held the OTAs today, yeah, they were all had a hand in it. Judge ran some of the offense, and then Patricia did it, and then Bill did it himself. I don't think he knows. They're really doing a competition.
I mean, in other words, but you follow me, Murray? In other words, if he goes into it saying, well, look, I'm going to call the plays this year. I'm not going to tell anybody yet. This is how we're going to run it, and, you know, in camp, and we'll see. And if someone pops up, great, but otherwise, it's probably going to be me. Then that tells me he's got a plan. Like, and he's got his the idea of, well, let's just kind of go out there and throw the crap against the wall and see if any of it sticks, and then I'll pick a guy. I mean, that sort of feels like quarterback years ago.
I'll figure it out. And everyone else is stupid and will screw up.
Right.
We're back to where we were.
Okay,
for
in a conference that now has Russell Wilson in it, Matt Ryan added in Indianapolis, like the whole landscape has changed.
A division in which you have a team that you can't force to punt. Never mind the conference.
I mean, he's really doing a disservice to Jones. He's really doing a disservice to Jones.
Well, he's smarter than everyone else. He'll figure it out.
He's setting the kid up to fail. I mean, they took him in the first round, and now he's setting him up to fail.
Long commercial-free segment comes your way next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Maz are pre-gaming right now at Hurricanes at the Garden, presented by Michelob Ultra. Enjoy every bucket on Boston's Home for Sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
So what plays are we calling?
Bill, back in March when we spoke to you at the league meetings there, you talked a little bit about how you'd be working in conjunction with some of the other coaches on the offensive side. I know it's really early, but how has that process gone thus far with the time you guys have spent on the field?
Oh, good. Yeah, I mean, I work with all the coaches. Just try to be involved in everything. So, That's the head coach's job. Support all parts of the program.
Have those jobs been specified for Joe and Matt in particular? They told us that, you know, Joe's been working with the quarterbacks and Matt a little bit with the offensive line, but those guys have titles.
Yeah, it's, do we have titles? Yeah, look, there's a lot of jobs that we have to do. We're all working on those things now. It's May. They'll change in June. They'll change in August. They'll change in September. We'll evolve and do the things timely that we need to do. I mean, if you're asking about game plans, we're like months away from that. Months.
Maybe not game plans, but how about like the one role that we asked those two guys about was the play caller role. Is that
months
one
away
from having a play caller?
Months away. Months. So what plays are we calling?
Oh.
Mini camp plays?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. We're going to coach the team, coach the players. We're going to get them ready to go. We're going to game plan. We have to game plan. We'll play call. Do all the things that we need to do and compete in games. Right now, we're months away from that.
There was several interesting, snippy defensive exchanges with Belichick. That's one that stood out. Months away from a game plan. Months away from calling play. What plays are we calling right now? Mini camp plays? So, I guess all that preparation that I used to buy into, all the hard work they put into these mini camps where they had detailed plays and the coaches, you know, getting ready weeks, months before games even start. That was all just bullcrap, I guess.
Yep, most of it.
I guess it's not really that important.
No, because again, you can just flip the whole script and learn it as you go.
Could have fooled me. I thought the only way was through.
You know, and again, like, was Phil Perry still in the middle of the question, and Bill's in the background still staying months?
Yes.
Like the question hadn't even come out. It's just. He's the defensive part of it is absolutely true. He's completely defensive about it.
Can he understand why people are concerned about this, though? I mean, this is so unorthodox what he's doing. Why be so defensive? Be straight with people. Like, okay, you have two guys that people think you're a boobs. We're going to try to have it work itself out, and one of these guys is ultimately going to be in the offensive coordinator. Why just be so pissy about it, like, day one?
And, Mike, to be clear, too, it's not just us. It's football people who are looking at it and saying, what the heck is going on there? Why are they taking this sort of approach when they invested that type of capital in a quarterback a year ago? Why would they take this approach? And so, you know, people can, you know, because Patriots fans love to do it, Mark Felger and Maz all you want. But the football people in the world are saying the same thing.
I don't care. I mean, I don't care who's saying it, who's not saying it. I think it's borderline dysfunctional what they're doing. Teams name coordinators and coaches for a reason. They have those titles for a reason. You go into this part of the year. It's not training camp yet, but it's a precursor to training camp. You start to install things. You start to teach things. People have defined roles. People have playbooks. They have terminology. And, yes, they're calling plays. So Belichick makes it sound like you must be some kind of idiot to think we need plays at this time of year or defined roles at this time of year, when for 20 years they had defined roles and plays at this time of year. But now that they don't have it, you're some sort of idiot to think that we're months away from game plans. It's just, it's crazy what they're doing. It's crazy. Want to hear more defensive, Bill? Give me number three, Jimmy, on play calling.
Is there a point where a guy who's going to have that role would need the time to prepare? Is that by the start of training camp? Is that?
Yeah, of course.
Do you have that date in your mind?
Do you know who will call offensive plays, or is that a process you'll play out over the course of the offseason?
Yeah, when we get to it, we'll get to it.
Are we as lay people, Bill, maybe making too much out of the play caller stuff? Because from the outside looking in, it seems like the guy who sends in the plays working kind of in conjunction with the quarterback, knowing what he likes and getting the used to the rhythm of it is important.
That'll all happen.
What's the attribute that you'd like to see from a play caller, whether it's Charlie or whatever? Down the line that somebody does well.
I don't know. We're all different. The execution of the plays, I think, are a lot more important than the plays themselves. So I've called them. I've not called them. I'll called him, and I've not called him. So, and so is everybody else.
So, you know, do you have an idea or a date when you need to have that guy in place? No. We'll get to it when we'll get to it. That will all happen. That's the one that he really mumbled. That'll all happen. That'll all happen, he said. And the execution far more important than the plays themselves. Well, if that's not a Bill Belichick comment, I don't know what is. Hey, the play's always right, a-hole. If you execute what we call, we'll get it done.
Well, so that comment struck me, you know, the first time I heard it, too, because really? Well, ask Devin McCourty about the call at the end of the Dallas game on the 3rd and 4th and 25 or whatever the hell it was, 3rd and 25. Can we ask him that? Because the call in that situation was wrong, and it made a difference. Now that's on the defensive side of the ball. But how many times do we look at a play that a Patriots call in a critical situation and go, what the hell are they trying to do there? What was that play call all about? And that was with McDaniels. And, again, like, I just think it's a horrible way to run a football team when you have questions to begin with, and then if some bad play calls or some bad plays take place during the year, it's going to create doubt internally. Like, you're going to have players looking at it going, what the hell are we doing here? And now you're undermining the confidence of your own offense. So I don't get it. I don't get it. This constant need that he has, even at age 70, this constant need that he has to be smarter than everybody else and put his own fingerprints on everything, even traditional time-tested ways of doing things. Why does it always have to be altered because of Bill? Like, I don't get it.
Okay.
I just don't get it.
There's your Patriots reset. Mix it in with our Celtics thoughts. Final hour of your calls. Get right to them after a quick update from Murray. There are no commercials here, so go nowhere.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.